Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
All right, grade the pick. What's your verdict? Tyleek Williams, yeah. Ohio State defensive lineman. We stress it all morning long. We got open lines. You want to talk football? You want to talk Lions? You want to talk draft? Call in.
Yeah, and at 7:35 when we get back into the Lions, you know, and we'll talk about it at any time. So if you want to call, text, we'll do it now. But at 7:35, who do you want on day two? There's a lot of good players still in this draft. Day two should be a major contributor, and they have an opportunity at 60 to get somebody that's going to help them this year.
In addition to all the Lions stuff this morning, we got A.J. Hinch at 8:02, and we want to talk about the Pistons. If you were at that game, the atmosphere, Final Countdown is back. You had a bunch of people at the game. Ben Wallace, Rip Hamilton. You had a bunch of Detroit Lions players. I saw Jameer Gibbs was at the game. Mm-hmm. And I think the entire Tiger baseball team showed up as well. A.J. Hinch, Scott Harris, everybody. So if you were there, we want to hear from you. And then we want to know what went wrong. Because, John, I mean, that is the story here. That as cool as it is to have that environment back, they lost the game.
They did. And there were some awkward moments in that game, especially the way it ended was just weird. Yeah. But I got a text from Coach Tom. I was there last night. The atmosphere was electric. It was really good home court. It was great. And they went back. It was great that they went back to the retro introduction. I think everybody loved that. And that was the consensus at the draft party. Everybody loved the Final Countdown. They loved that that was back. The only criticism was the flames weren't as long as the ones used in Auburn Hills.
Got to work their way up to it.
Yeah.
Biggest reason they lost the game, first of all, they didn't deserve to win the game. I know people will point out the backcourt violation, should it have been called or not, and Bickerstaff was hot about it after the game. The Pistons were down like the whole way. And Karl-Anthony Towns stepped up in a big spot as the number two with Jalen Brunson, actually outscored Brunson. Meanwhile, the Pistons didn't have a number two step up on the scorer sheet.
No, and it felt like all the key spots to get momentum is where New York excelled.
Yeah.
Going into the end of the first quarter, going into halftime.
23-6 run to close the first half, second quarter.
You know, to the end of the third quarter. And obviously,
With the offensive rebound and a putback. You're right. All these little plays.
And it's going into moments where, hey, you want to have some momentum going into the break at the quarter. You want to have some momentum going into halftime. You want to have some momentum at some of those key moments. And New York had all of those moments.
There were even moments like a fourth quarter, one that still bugs me. You get a tie up with Duren and Brunson. You have to win the tip. Instead, they tip it and it goes out of bounds and you lose possession. Those things add up. Cade Cunningham had a move where he left a defender in the dust, blew a tire. But then Cade doesn't finish at the rim. It's a turnover, and Brunson's got a layup the other way. It's a series of those plays where it was the reverse of game two. The Pistons were trailing the whole time. And I just, complain about a call or two. They didn't deserve to win that game.
I may be off on the exact points, but I think it was 20-11. The Knicks had started off hot. And then all of a sudden, it's the foul on Hardaway, and he gets the three free throws. They get the ball, and he hits a three. They've made up six. And now all of a sudden, it's a missed bucket. They come down, and Cade hits a three, and they're tied up at 20, I believe is what it was. I thought at that moment, all right, we took control of the game. We settled things down. We used everything that happened to the Pistons' advantage, and it's just like they could never follow through and capitalize fully on it.
So Sean Windsor with the Free Press, columnist, his headline on his story is Metal Tops Momentum, and I 1,000% agree with that. Like, I think the story about the Knicks and not having anything left and the Pistons were in control got way, way oversold yesterday and after game two. I do. They showed up last night, and every time the Pistons made a run, they answered. How many times did they get ahead by like eight? And then the acceleration before the half, it's like, you know, they really showed a backbone last night. And you can pick apart the way the game was played and the officiating and all those things.
No, I think that's silly.
But the Pistons riding the momentum, it wasn't enough. I was surprised it didn't work last night. I thought last night was going to kind of be a little bit of a, yeah, this is for Detroit moment. We're going to get our first home playoff win in forever and all these things. And that game four would be the problem. The Knicks showed up last night. They did what they were supposed to with Cat.
Specifically, Cat showed up. I mean, to put up a goose egg in the second half of game two, you knew he was personally going to be challenged. He came out. He was hot early. He kept it through the end of that game. He scored 31 points. Jalen Brunson, by the way, less flopping, still productive in the face of a crowd that was trying to get under his skin.
Yeah.
A lot of chants and expletives. No, that's a great point, Tom. They showed up on the road in a big spot. They answered the bell, and now the Pistons have, I'll call it a must-win game four.
And what were some of the things that we talked about JB needed to do, right? Use the bench a little bit more. We saw Paul Reed's minutes double. We saw Ron Holland's minutes double. Dennis Schroeder was pretty much even, I think, at 30 minutes. I think it was 30 minutes on Monday night. Malik Beasley, that's where I think this team has not had the oomph that they needed from the guy that we thought was should have been the sixth man of the year. Tim Hardaway, 7 of 12 from behind the arc.
He was good.
He was good. Malik Beasley was at 1 3-pointer on Monday night, and then last night it was 2 of 10 from behind the arc.
So the Knicks had four players score more than 20 points.
Yeah.
The Pistons only had two. It was Cade, and you mentioned Tim Hardaway Jr. For Tobias Harris to have five and Karl Anthony Towns to have 31. That's a huge reason they lost this game. And you're right. With Beasley, it's back-to-back poor shooting games from him. When we talk about, hey, later this summer, trying to put a number two with Cade, circle the game from last night as a part of that reason.
So before yesterday, it was four players standing around watching one. And now four players scored 20. Massive adjustment and change that they made as a team and also as a coaching staff.
Yeah.
Let's get some phone calls. 248-539-9797. Michael in Detroit, you're on 97.1.
Yes, I was on there with you before. Can you hear me?
We got you.
Yep.
All right, this is Pistons, Michael. I just wanted to say that Cade played so terrible yesterday. And I've been telling y'all before when I called last time that Cade Cunningham, he's a great player, but he shouldn't be no point guard. It seems like when two people come up on him, he gets confused a little bit. Because there's a lot of guys was open in the corner when he was going down there, turning around, turning into a center. And anyway, we're going to win this series. It's going to be a little tougher than I thought.
It's going to be a war.
Yeah, but I think we just want to go win it in New York on the 7th. But it's okay. It's all good. We're going to win. Did nobody think we were going to go this far? I've got $20 that we're going to win the East for $2,500, so... We're going to win the East. I ain't scared of Cleveland or Boston. As soon as we get the people going, the Pistons going. And I think we need Stewart back. I really didn't like Stewart, but now I think we need Stewart.
Well, specifically to throw on Karl Anthony Towns, because if Towns is going to get going like this, you're going to need beef stew. And Sunday is more than a week between games for Stewart.
Yeah.
So
plenty of rest.
I don't know anything, but optimistic would be where I sit today. 248-539-9797. Let's get to John in Kalamazoo. John, good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
What's up?
Yeah, so I had two things about the Lions last night. The first one is the Tyreek Williams. I think it's a single. It's not a double. It's not a home run. It fills a need, but I feel like there were better players that were available on the board. Jahan Campbell, Will Johnson sitting there. There are multiple edge rushers sitting there. I don't think other teams were knocking down the door to go get this guy in the first round. So I feel like he would have been there in the second. And the second point is, does Howie Roseman have, like, dirty laundry on everybody in the league? Because how does this keep happening that, you know, Jalen Carter fell to him in the draft? Now, Jahan Campbell falls to him in the draft. But how does this keep happening?
It's wild, too, because, like, to be an NFL executive, you have to be plugged in and know football. And at the same time, it feels like Howie Roseman just drafts the player that we all think is really good. Right? It doesn't feel like he's doing anything...
Yeah.
Like super superior or sneaky. He's just, hey, Jahad Campbell, everybody has him at 10 or 11 on the mock drafts. I'm going to take him at 31.
No, the super sneaky, you know, superpower is what we've seen him do in free agency, how we've seen him work trades, which is what we haven't really seen from Brad Holmes. But yeah, I mean, it's they have entered the, Howie Roseman has entered the, oh yeah, that seemed like an Eagles pick. Just like when we talk about Baltimore.
Yeah.
Malachi starts, it just kind of seems like a Baltimore pick.
But I want to just go through the last couple Eagles first round. So they take Jahad Campbell last night. Everybody goes, oh, hell of a football player. How do you fall? Last year, Quinyon Mitchell. Everybody loved Quinyon Mitchell. Cooper DeJean. Everybody loved him. They got him in the second. Like, these are household names. He just drafts the household names. Jalen Carter the year before with Nolan Smith. Georgia, productive, national champion, front seven pieces. Jordan Davis, Devontae Smith. They just draft the household names that are really good football players. He makes it look easy. How did they keep doing this?
I mean, they do their due diligence. And I mean, is Tyreek Williams the sexy pick?
No.
No, because the sexy pick would have been an edge. But I think it's a pick that is going to make this team, this team will be better with Tyreek Williams as a part of it on you know, the first day of the season versus not having Tyreek Williams.
He is a day one starter, and he's a long-term piece to pair with Aleem McNeil. The two of them will be in the middle of this defense for years to come. Both of them are massive human beings who stuff the run and can play interior, both the one and the three technique, and collapse a pocket. I see the vision. We wanted them to beef up the D-line. Edge is one way to get to the quarterback, but the fastest way, right up the middle. Can't be mad at the pick. If you're mad they didn't take Campbell, I know that's part of the conversation today. 248-539-9797. Hey, we've got the Pistons in the mix. We've got the Lions. Coming up next, can we play the final countdown? We've got it. The intros might from well. Mason yeah. last night. Let's play it for people. It's 97.1. All right, guys, if you're injured in a car accident, you're looking for help. You need someone who cares about you. You need a law firm that's looking out for you, and that's KG Law. I've met with Lawrence KG and his team, and it's true. It's the way they run their business. 877 KG Cares. They're not cutting corners. You're not going to be left in the dark because these settlements can drag out. You're going to be in contact with these guys. You're going to have the same team from the jump. 10 lawyers, over 35 legal professionals on staff. They don't skimp to save money. Instead, they're equipped with the manpower to get you that big settlement. If you or a loved one has been injured in a car accident, you need to call KG Law now. That's spelled K-A-J-Y. KGCares.com. That's KGCares.com.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Cunningham with the basketball up top, pick and roll. Duren flying in for the dunk, and it's a two-point game.
Classic Cade Duren timeout.
Knicks with a timeout. 5:15 in the third. It's the Knicks 75 and the Pistons 73.
Got it down to two, but for most of that fourth quarter, the Knicks kept the Pistons at arm's length. Knicks pick up a big road win, game three. And we want to hear from you. If you were at the game, the environment looked electric. We want to hear from you. If you're at the game or you just watched on TV, why did they lose game three? 248-539-9797. And it's open lines. If you want to talk about the Lions pick, we've been talking about it all morning. Tyleek Williams at 28. You approve of the pick? You have thoughts on who was on the board at the time? Maybe that's what bothers you. Because I don't think many people can be mad at taking a big defensive lineman. We talked about reinforcing the trenches. Brad Holmes did that with the pick at 28. John, let's play a little bit of that atmosphere for people.
Okay.
Mason with the final countdown. We wanted it. We got it. Now that's what we're talking about, baby.
That was pretty awesome. I know I said wait to game six. I'm glad they didn't. I thought that was so cool.
I didn't know Hardaway was the torch. I'm learning that for the first time. You're telling me this for the first time. I thought the Ysaar Thompson intro was the best. Nine, stop sign.
Yeah.
Highlighting his defense.
Now they were all cool.
Mason's great at this. Yeah. And it did kind of give you some of that nostalgia, tapping back into what it meant to play Piston basketball in the postseason.
Yeah, playoff basketball. It felt every bit of that last night.
248-539-9797. It's going to be a long series. They lost the game. Biggest reason they lost the game. You can let us know on the phones. Let's go to Austin in Southfield. Austin, good morning.
Brother, what's good, man? Good morning. Yeah, I was at the game last night with my mom and my brother. First off, the energy was electrifying. It was just great energy. Everybody happy. But as far as, like, you know, what happened and why we lost, in my opinion, Tobias has 6 points, 6 to 8 points. Yes, his rebounds and things, you know, was, you know, very impactful, quote unquote. But like I said, we can't win if everybody's not scoring how they need to score. And Cade, he just has to continue to play on that superstar level. You know, yesterday he kind of played like game one. So as long as everybody's scoring, doing their role, Beasley and Hardaway, they have to score. They have to score more. They have to finish their threes. So if everybody scores and does their job correctly, we can beat New York. But if not, Brunson, Ananobi, Bridges, and Cat, they have too much experience and they're too hungry for a championship for us to play mediocre basketball, brother.
Oh, I think you're right about that. Look, when you have issues with turnovers, with missed shots, with missed free throws, those little things add up in a playoff game. And then you do need something from the others. You have Cade, you've got your star, you need something from the others. At times it feels like not having a number two has been a strength for the Pistons in that somebody steps up, like it was Schroeder in game two.
Right.
It was Tobias Harris, even in game one, played really well, but they don't have a consistent number two. And as the series drags on, someone's got to step up outside of Cade.
Yeah, I mean, Schroeder has actually been very consistent. I think it was, 20 the other night? It was 18 last night.
Yeah.
But Malik Beasley in the last two games has just disappeared.
So Beasley was 4 of 14. Tobias Harris was 2 of 9. Ysaar Thompson only played 18 minutes. I mean, of that group, you need more.
Right. And I know it was a little touch and go with fouls, but when you just need to, the guys that you've counted on in large part throughout the course of the season. And I know Schroeder wasn't there, but we count on him now. He's been there. Malik Beasley, not there. You just need more production. Tobias Harris, not there in terms of being able to score, being able to produce, and being able to supplement what you're going to get from Cade and company.
Real quick, need to clarify something. Texter says, both you guys said yesterday, whoever wins game three will win the series. Do you stand by that?
No, we said if the Pistons win game three, they win the series. We both said it's not the same circumstances if New York wins.
Because you still get game four at home to even this thing up and drag
now,
it out.
Now, I did hear a stat that, I think it was yesterday, it was on the pregame, that whoever wins game three, 80% of the time they win the series. So they got their work.
Position.
Yeah, they got their work cut out for them.
Let's get to Heather with the news.
Well, football fans turned out in droves in Green Bay on Thursday for night one of the NFL draft. But of course, they did not come close to exceeding the massive crowd Detroit drew last year. So Green Bay hosted approximately 205,000 fans for round one. And last year, Detroit set a record for the first night with 275,000 fans. Mm-hmm. So, of course, we went on to set more records with our attendance for the draft. 775,000 in attendance. Actually, probably more for the three-day event. So,
and I think we'll get one sooner rather than later, but every NFL city right now is begging to have the draft because of the amount of people that come in and what it brings to their team, their fan base, their community, all of the fans that travel.
Look, I was getting set up to make fun of Green Bay because they can't do it like we can. That was impressive. It looked really good on TV visually, the way they filled that place up.
Oh, sure. If it's a smaller space, it's easier to fill up.
Yep. A Detroit school employee is on administrative leave after using pepper spray on a child in school. And now the kid's mother is also demanding some answers. So it happened on Thursday. A 13-year-old who is autistic was in class. This was at Carver STEM Academy when he said another student made fun of him, called him a name, criticized how he looked, right? And then an altercation broke out between him and the other student. This parapro stepped in to try to settle the situation, but apparently it escalated to the point where this employee needed or decided to use pepper spray on this teen. And the event sounds like was very traumatizing for this teen. He kind of shared his opinion, but the mother of this boy says she was equally distressed.
I mean, I understand, like, he look intimidated, but he really not. He not finna put his hands on no adult. Like, you know what I'm saying? He not just finna just go out and rage. I'm already scared for him growing up. I shouldn't have to be scared for him to go to class. I just want justice for my son, period.
So Detroit Public Schools has placed that parapro on administrative leave, is currently investigating the incident.
Yeah, I mean, pepper spraying is traumatizing whether you deserve it or not.
I wouldn't know, but I can only imagine.
Been hit? Oh, man.
No.
Have you been pepper sprayed?
Wait, you asked like, oh, you haven't? Why would I have been pepper sprayed?
We've heard some stories. Well, I thought maybe you might be in some situations.
No,
maybe
John.
Maybe you planted a flag at Ohio Stadium at the 50-yard line.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, there's been times. It actually was done in Columbus where they pepper sprayed the crowd back in 90, I forget which one it was, but it was crowd control and some of the cloud got in my eyes.
Okay, well that, to me, that's different than like pepper spraying with
directly in your face, sure.
Yes.
But
well,
what I'm saying is,
okay,
it's,
at Michigan State,
even
there
just
was
a little bit was uncomfortable.
Like, I consider that maybe it is pepper spray. I was thinking it was more like tear gas. They did do that at Michigan State one time when things got really rowdy. There was like some rioting and stuff. And yes, I guess I was on the outskirts of that and could feel.
Now we're going.
But I don't consider
it's
that being
Michigan
pepper
time.
Sprayed.
Yes. Were you next to a burning couch?
No, I was at a bar. And we were just walking home, but we were right on the outskirts of that. So you could feel it, but not like this
Not
kid
direct.
Being
yeah.
pepper sprayed in the face. To me, very different. Anyway, a federal judge sentenced William Smith, that's the former Detroit Riverfront CFO, to 19 years in prison for stealing at least $44.3 million from the Detroit Riverfront's conservatory. So he pleaded guilty last year to one count each of wire fraud, also money laundering, in this really elaborate, you know, embezzlement scheme. And it spanned from 2012 through early last year. He faced a maximum of 20 years in prison. So he got a year shaved off. Prosecution had actually requested a sentence of 18 years. So got more than they recommended. And when you look at all of this, the things he spent his money on, $3.7 million to a mistress, right? $500,000 to Pistons floor tickets, private planes, jets, yachts, jewelry, purses, homes. The list goes on and on and on.
Mm.
And that's all I got time for.
Yeah. Busy day today.
Yeah.
We got AJ Hinch coming up at 8:02. More thoughts on the Lions and the Pistons this morning. It's 97.1. Brad Holmes talking about the pick last night. I see the vision. He could stop the run from day one. You don't have a Lee McNeil. You don't want that to be an excuse in a division where Ben Johnson's going to run the ball, in a division where you know LaFleur and O'Connell pride their offenses on running to set up the pass, play action. and in an NFC where you got to go through the Philadelphia Eagles,
who like to run the ball,
stopping the run is a requirement. And it sounds like there's pass rushing upside with Tyreek Williams. Fastest way to the quarterback's up the middle at 330 pounds. He's not just a nose tackle that eats space. He also gets in the backfield and can eat you for lunch.
Yeah, you've got to find a way to push the depth of the pocket. That's what defensive tackles have to do. They've got to push the depth of the pocket. And if a quarterback can't step up, even if you don't get home, some of the best disruptors that are defensive tackles, they don't have great numbers in terms of sacks, but it's their ability to be disruptive and have a guard, even with the threat of stepping on the quarterback's feet so that he can't step up. Sometimes they short arm a ball. You affect a quarterback like that, it's not as good as a sack, but it's pretty damn good.
So what's this say for Broderick Martin?
I think we know what it says.
Yeah, I think we all knew that going into this.
It's Brad admitting it. We have to. He's probably not on the roster.
Yeah, move up. I mean, move on. Free up a roster spot.
I mean, I got news for you. They're not going to be able to keep every pick that Brad makes, even the good ones.
Well, right, exactly. But the fact is this was a guy that was they were maybe counting on helping, and it's not. So
it's a good second level of this that you got to consider. 248-539-9797. AJ Hinch will join us at 8:02. He was at the Pistons game last night. Get some of his thoughts on that, plus his baseball team, which is off to a great start.
Oh, yeah.
Back to the phone. Actually, before we get back to the phones, John, you got a couple guys for later on tonight?
I do. And in the second round, I mean, there's a couple. Marcus Imbo, the guard from Purdue. I don't know that he lasts that long. The interesting thing about the second round is going to be there are a number of edge guys still available. There's a number of defensive tackles still available, quality individuals. So it may push some of those offensive guards, center type players a little bit deeper into the first round. If he's there, I think he'd be a great pickup. On the edge, Josiah Stewart. I know everybody's going to say, oh, he's a good guy.
I like him too.
He can get after the quarterback. So if you go with Tyreek Williams in the first round, at the end of the second, you go with a guy like Josiah Stewart, you're addressing that defensive front. You're addressing stopping the run. You're addressing getting after the passer. He'll be a pass rush specialist to begin with. And I know everybody's going to talk about some of the plays that he made. It's different making those plays against some of the offensive linemen at college than it is in the NFL in the run game. Those are a couple of guys that I would like. Jackson Slater, a name that we haven't talked about.
To say I'm not familiar with him.
Okay, Jackson Slater is from Sacramento State.
Yeah, guard. That's probably why.
Yeah, guard. He had a tremendous Senior Bowl. He was going to need to go to the Senior Bowl and really show that that he could show his wares, that he could play up to the level of that you're going to need to in the NFL. And I think he is a guy that could come in and be a tremendous backup, develop into a starter. He's a good athlete. He mauls at the line of scrimmage. When he gets his hands locked on you, he doesn't let up. He's got good balance. He doesn't have elite pass protection skills, but that's something that can be improved on. What I love is, especially in an offense, and if John Morton follows the way that this offense has been built and it's run first, he fits right in, and he'd be a guy that will probably be available. You may have to trade up in the third, but we've seen Brad Holmes do that.
Oh, yeah, he's not afraid to maneuver. Look, they got a pick at 60 and a pick at 102. Ideally, you're getting a guard and you're getting an edge player. If you're waiting on edge, it makes me really want to get back to the negotiating table with Za'Darius Smith, because you could go Za'Darius plus a young edge.
Mm-hmm. Well, Za'Darius could be your, every down guy, and then you complement it with a specialist like a Josiah Stewart.
We got to be timely here. You want to take a Pistons call first or a Lions call first? You're a football guy.
Yeah, let's go. Let's go Lions.
Glenn, good morning. You're on 97.1.
Hey guys. I had a little quick story. In my garage, I got 5 SUVs, but 3 of my kids moved away, so I don't really need an SUV. And my cars that I'm looking at is one's a linebacker. And 2 of them are edge, and maybe another big one, but it's a little different. Call him Simmons. And I asked my good friend Brad Holmes to go on out and buy a new car for me that I don't really need an SUV. And he comes home with another SUV. What am I to think about this one? I would have loved it. I was screaming Mike Green. And my wife was going like, all right. I says, or jihad. And nothing happened. And I'm going like, Brad, what'd you do to me?
So you're
maybe
bummed.
He got really good value on that SUV.
Yeah, but I've already got four in the garage and I don't really need it anymore.
But I would fight you on that point. I do think they have a need on the interior of the defensive line. I get wanting an edge player. I like Jihad Campbell. I like, you know, Ezeraku, who was on the board. I get there. That point. What I would tell you, though, is let's not undercut what they needed on that defensive line. They still needed someone on the interior. Reader's on a one-year deal, and McNeil is hurt to start the season. You got to stop the run. You do need to pass rush from the middle. Williams give you an answer of both. We got to get to AJ.
We do.
It's 97.1.